everybody.
Morning.
My name is Frank Sabatelli. I'm Director of Virtual Technology for a company called IRMC. Here's my counterpart, Ben Sarles.
How we doing?
Today we're going to be talking about building a scalable dynamic call center using VMware or VDI. I'm sure you've heard the buzzwords about VDI. And we're here to talk about our experience about implementation, what we've run into problem-wise, some road bumps, stuff that maybe you guys can pull away from this as things we've done and we don't want you to do. So let's get started, I guess. I like to walk around, so if you can't hear me, just give me a shout-out. Our agenda. We're going to go through a small company profile. We're going to tell you about our challenge, what we faced as a company, why we went with VDI, how we came to this decision. We're going to go through how we set it up, our key benefits that we've seen out of VDI, some additional discoveries that we've had, and we'll briefly go through a summary. And we'll go through a Q&A, which I find to be like the most important part of any presentation usually is, hey, you know, I'm thinking of doing this. Have you guys experienced it? A lot of things that we forget given a presentation like this. IRMC, we are, to make a long story short, we're a collection agency. We do a lot of work with a lot of large banks, financial institutions. We have 20 sites worldwide. We have two major data centers, one in New Jersey and one in Ohio. Ben and I are currently out of New Jersey, but we go to both centers. We perform collections and account receivable for almost all major banks and credit cards. You name one, we've probably done business with them or are doing business with them currently. What our challenge was, our logistics were preventing us from being truly flexible. We weren't being competitive. Our CEO and CTO came to our group and said we have a broken infrastructure. We can't produce, and we can't be flexible, and we can't give our clients what they're looking for on a very quick basis. The turnaround was horrible. Clients were asking for additional staffing or new staffing for any one of their lines of business, and they wanted to get it up and running as fast as possible and as cheap as possible. We couldn't deliver either. We had too much bench work, imaging machines, redeploying and repairing old hardware. For all you guys in IT and girls in IT, you know that that's the biggest thing. You have this antiquated desktops, you don't know what to do with them, so it's either replace them or come up with a new solution. We came up with a new solution. We had consistent administrative problems. Consistently, we had our first couple weeks with the company, we had worms, viruses, 48-hour conference calls, you know, pulling machines off of the network, all types of problems. Our bottom line, though, was we weren't being responsive enough to stay competitive. We were losing business to our competitors. We weren't staying competitive because we weren't flexible. A typical call center has about 350 employees, usually with poor-performing desktops. We had a bunch of IT staff that would be on call in the building working all crazy hours, redeploying desktops. Anytime a client would come to us and say, we need 150 more desktops, 150 more users, and we need them by next week. You know, we'd have one weekend to basically redesign the whole infrastructure of the call center. Our agents typically connect to multiple databases, both in-house and out-of-house. Application servers, dialers, that's our big business. We do dialing. So that's our core of our business. So access to the dialer is very important. The average agent connects to 6 applications across multiple physical and logical domains. It's probably more. I would say that that's probably in a range of 8 to 10 applications running on a desktop. So these desktops are real heavy. Our limitations included a large on-site budget for technicians, unreliable local hardware, and a dynamic environment that consistently needs re-engineering. That was our biggest problem, was we just weren't flexible enough. So we came up with the idea of VDI, or a virtual desktop farm. It was a brilliant idea. I stuck that in. It's my boss's idea, not mine. He was supposed to be here. That was a little kudos to him. But we came up with the VDI solution. We built a farm consisting of 22 ESX 2.5 servers hosting 400-plus virtual XP machines. Right now, that's probably upwards of 40 ESX servers with about 600, and we're looking to expand. Yes? Well, I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear that. Standard config. We went with everything's 253. They're HP blades, HP 25Ps. Sand attached, fiber sand attached. Oh, we'll get to it. Yeah, we'll do proc. I'll get to that in 1 second. All 400 machines are direct replacements for the old desktop units. We avoided buying 400 new machines to keep up with technology. We went with all thin clients, all brand new, and our centralized consolidation allowed for administrative control. Everything's now in our data center. So no longer do we have the desktops out there. All we have is a thin client on the desktop. Desktop's very small, compact. I mean, you've all seen the thin clients. Wise makes them. They're this big. That allowed for a smaller footprint also when we redid the data center. The ability to provide a new virtual desktop in about 8 minutes by cloning one of six images. We have six flavors that are out there, all varying degrees of CPU usage, memory usage, and we can get them up in about 8 minutes by doing a clone. That's impressive. That's very impressive to go to a client and say, we can have another machine up in 8 minutes. Usually we have spares and we can get them back up in about a minute, minute and a half. All it takes is another RDP session in. As I said, we have six standard images. Cloning an image. Not even. We have a machine that's ready to go, clone through Virtual Center. Takes us about 8 to 9 minutes. We've had it go faster. I've had them, you know, in about 6 minutes, I've had them go up. But the big thing is we have a bunch of spares. So if somebody does have an issue, I can flip them off by just, you know, going with a new RDP session into a new box. So our downtime has been reduced drastically. Our downtime for an agent, you know, when they start having a problem, I don't even bother troubleshooting it anymore. New RDP session into a new box. So that reduces our downtime. Our uptime numbers were in the 80 percentile. Now we're up around 98, 99%. So that was pretty significant in about a year. Our slogan was any agent, any desk, anywhere. We can put an agent anywhere in any one of the 20 offices worldwide, and they can work on any one of our VDI boxes. So as long as they have a connection back into us, which all of our offices do, as long as they have a spare seat, the agent can sit down there and work any line of our business. We haven't gone that far because of banking regulations, and there's a whole bunch of business reasons why we haven't gone that route. But that is a possibility. We haven't gone there just specifically because of our business. Our only requirement is a thin client and RDP access to our central data center in New Jersey. Our initial evaluation was a farm of three servers. We had a small test group, and we had 1 weekend to prove that it worked. Our upper management already had buy-in, so they were involved in all the discussions to get there. I know a lot of companies have problems selling it up the line. This one actually came down. They came with us. They were in the discussions. We, as I said before, we use VL25Ps, 2.4 gig, 16 gig of RAM. They're all fiber attached to an HP EVA 5000. Our LUNs are a lot more than that right now. Initially, when we started out, we went with 10 LUNs at 250 each. After proving that we worked, we expanded and expanded and expanded. Currently, we're way up over 22 servers now. We have about 600 virtual machines. We're looking to quadruple that in the next year. Our biggest challenge during the phase was load balancing. Without a doubt, that was the hardest thing we faced, was load balancing our images. How heavy was one image versus another? One was very CPU heavy, another one memory heavy. We had to come up with a balance on each one of those servers. You know, we put 10 machines on one server, 10 of another image, see how they behaved. That was the biggest hurdle that we faced because we had 6 different images, all of varying degrees of applications and connections. That was where I think most of our work was done. We're looking forward to our upgrade to VI3, which we're in the process right now, because with DRS, some of this is going to go away. Some of these headaches of constantly balancing our machines out with DRS is hopefully going to go away. We're right in the middle of our upgrade process. Ben and I are actually going to a lot of classes here to hear some upgrade stories and make sure our process is in place positively. We went with an N+1 model. Basically, we wanted to keep enough equipment in the farm so that when things went wrong, we could flip everything over to another server. This has worked out real well. We've had a couple servers go down hardware-wise and flipped everything over to another server before it went down hard. That's worked out pretty well. And this slide I'm going to turn over to Ben. He's going to go over our infrastructure, how it looks currently, why we chose to go with this, and a couple of the benefits.
Hi, everyone. How it looks. How it looks is a little bit... Sorry about that. How it looks is a little bit different than this slide. There's some updates that are worth noting. Our remote call centers, again, Frank had said, we have roughly 20 remote sites that we support from our central data center. When we talk about call centers, what we're talking about really is we have groups of remote users that share a similar job function. So a lot of what we're talking about is actually translatable into pretty much any departmental business model. Our remote call centers have all been upgraded to DS3 circuits on an MPLS backbone, kind of a gift from God. One of the things that we don't have to worry about, one of the headaches that we don't have to deal with, is wide area network bandwidth availability. So that problem was kind of answered for us automatically. We have all of our remote sites that connect back into our central data center to access our virtual desktop images. And again, we run our ESX servers on HP BL25Ps. We seem to like them. Dual processors, 64-bit architecture, lots of memory. We can move them around if needed. It makes cabling and wire management a little bit easier on the back end. And if any of you guys run in HP shops, the ILO management and managing the blade chassis is much easier on blades. HP EVA 5000, again, for storage. We've actually started using the MSA series SAN storage as well. So we were actually able to buy cheaper, smaller, slower hardware. When does that ever happen? You know, so we were able to take this virtual desktop thing that we thought was going to be incredibly resource intensive, and you know, we were going to need lots and lots of hardware and you have to keep throwing hardware at it, and it actually turns out that we're able to back it down and go with more mid-range products to roll out our desktop farm. So in addition to our EVA, we have a number of MSAs that we use to store some of our LUN for our virtual machines. Again, all of our blades are SAN attached. One of the two big things that have really made this happen for us, one of them being shared storage. SAN storage is key. Being able to vMotion machines around, being able to react to disasters and bring machines up on another ESX box when an ESX box goes down. Having everything in one place has probably been one of the most important pieces of architecture that we've used, you know, aside from that little ESX piece. Virtual center to manage the virtual desktop images, again, that's the other big key piece. Virtual center and shared storage have been the two biggest tools that we've been able to leverage to make this happen. As Frank had mentioned earlier, there's a cloning feature in virtual center, so you can have a shutdown virtual machine and kick off a clone, go through a wizard, answer a couple of questions, and in 5 or 10 minutes you have another machine powered on and ready to be used. So whereas, you know, in remote sites you'd have to pull out hardware, you'd have to do manual installs, you'd have to sys prep, you'd have to pull down ghost images, everything else, now it's just a right click, answer a couple of questions, and you have another machine up. Again, we use thin clients for our remote sites. We mentioned our Philippines site. Basically, I guess some of the executives in our company got together and tried to decide where the furthest place on the planet was that they could put a call center and expect us to support, and they came up with the Philippines. So, you know, connectivity, although we have a large pipe going to the Philippines, we do deal with latency. We always fight to stay around that 300 millisecond response time, turnaround time. So, you know, that's probably our worst case scenario in terms of offices that are running VDI. And there we really don't see any screen latency. We're able to run about 150 VDI images out of the Philippines to New Jersey and haven't had any complaints. And they're actually planning on expanding that. So little success story there. That's a good question. Actually, it was originally, it's a combination of terminal server users, Citrix users, plain old desktops. We do have a number of functions that we haven't moved to VDI yet. Supervisor machines, we give them desktops because they generally run a larger base of applications, multimedia stuff. We haven't actually ported anything multimedia over to VDI yet. So none of our applications are really multimedia intensive. So the site actually started out with PCs, and as the site was expanded, the expansion was done with Thin clients. We use Wise and Neoware. There again, the Thin clients made a huge difference for us with supporting the remote offices. You know, getting 150 PCs to the Philippines is not an easy task. You know, we had to ship everything to our data center. We had to stage it, palletize it, shrink wrap it. You know, machines had to be pulled out of boxes, imaged, put back in boxes, monitors, everything else. So you can imagine 150 PCs, 150 monitors, 150 phones, 150 headsets, everything that someone would need for their desk, all kind of piled in a room that we have to stage and send out. So this huge stack of PCs that we used to send out to people turned into a little stack of thin clients about this big. You know, sending a $5 thin or a 5-pound thin client is much easier than sending a 50-pound PC. So, go ahead. No, we're still using hard phones. But actually, we run soft phones in our lab. So in terms of cost savings, we saw a significant cost savings in that respect. Obviously, it's expensive to ship things overseas as it is. And shipping that much weight was much more expensive than sending, you know, just a handful of thin clients. So we saw a significant cost savings there as well. Voice over IP is kind of the holy grail for our industry, so we're slowly moving that way. We actually have a huge voice over IP still using hard phones in place. We have about half of our environment over on voice over IP, so they're still using Cisco phones. Still, we're still using a combination between the two. Yes. So some of the key benefits that we came across, again, physical desktop hardware, shipping aside, sending stuff back and forth to sites. You know, you always have those offices. You have three different generations of machine in an office. You know, depending on who the IT director at the time was, whether he went with, you know, compact desktops, whether he went with Dell desktops, whether he went with, you know, built machines. You end up with a little bit of everything in all these centers. And the techs in the remote sites would end up having to come up with multiple images for all these machines. They would have to end up, you know, doing manual installs on some of them, application installs on top of that. So that was really the majority of the workload that we were able to eliminate, was the work done by the techs in the remote sites by putting in thin clients, because now they just sit a thin client at a desk and plug it in, as opposed to grabbing a PC, taking it back to their office, imaging it, or walking around the floor with boot disks, re-imaging machines, you know, after hours when nobody's around. Now it's just a matter of connecting a thin client. Blade technology and sand technology has been excellent for us. Again, we use HP blades. We're starting to use the new C-class blades, which will give us a 16 blade per chassis density as opposed to 8. They're working pretty well so far. We see about 25 to 30 virtual desktops per blade. That gets us about 14 to 1 guess the processor ratio. It is about the ratio that we see for reasonable performance. So with that, blades are nice. Just 2 internal drives just to get ESX up and running, SAN storage back to our VMFS partitions that are on our SAN storage. You know, and the blades are kind of universal. Like you said, we can swap them around and move them around as needed. Administration, again, it's not that there's no need for extensive desktop technicians. It's that they don't have to run around like crazy on the floor anymore, you know, swinging PCs all over the place. Everybody has that closet somewhere in their building with all the old hardware that's not being used anymore. You know, you open up the door and it's just printers and 15-inch monitors and gutted PCs. You know, PCs that you pulled memory out of to upgrade someone else's machine, and, you know, machines with dead hard drives. We were able to eliminate a lot of that in some of the offices that we opened up fresh. Just the storage alone that we saved on site. You know, you can stick a couple of thin clients on a shelf, a thin client and an LCD. Takes up a lot less space than what we were traditionally sending, which was desktops and LCDs, or CRTs. So, you know, just the footprint in itself for storing all that stuff, and, you know, you kind of get rid of that graveyard of old PC hardware as well. And the desktop administrators can focus on managing the images themselves. Now you have all these administrators in your remote offices connecting back to the virtual desktop farm to manage the PCs. You have half a dozen or a dozen base images that you use for different clients in different offices. All the hardware is the same. It's just a matter of what applications are installed or what client is being used for. You can have any administrator in any office build machines for you. You know, Bob in the LA office can call Bill in the Chicago office and say, hey, I'm leaving a half day today. Can you spin up 25 virtual desktops for me? Just use image number 4 and, you know, continue the numbering for the desktop names. And he'll go in and just, you know, the next 25 numbers he'll use to spin up 25 more machines. We're able to do about 5 at a clip, 5 at a time is about good performance we see through Virtual Center. So, you know, you can kind of kick off 5 machines, go check your email, you know, go update your fantasy football team, surf the internet, come back, do another 5, and, you know, you can pretty much manage your day pretty well that way. So the remote administrators can now, A, help each other out, across different offices, and B, you have all of your support staff building your machines the same way. And that's a huge thing, because previously we had some offices using Ghost, we had some offices using Drive Image, some offices were doing manual installs on machines. Now everybody's kind of doing it the same way. So that's been a big help. You know, I can sit at my desk with a bag of Doritos and deploy 100 desktops. Great. So the centralized administration, just that feature alone, being able to bring in remote resources to kind of work in parallel with you, whether I'm sitting at my desk at a data center or someone sitting 500 miles away, it makes no difference. We're doing the same job. We're doing it the same way. Operational improvements. Additional seats, again, can be added within an hour. I'm sure you guys have all gotten this call. You get the call from Mary in accounting. You know, hi, we have a new employee that's getting ready to start. And, you know, you ask them, okay, well, when are they going to start? And they tell you 8 o'clock this morning. You know, we need a PC by the end of the day. And, you know, all right. So before you had to go scrounge up hardware, get stuff put out on the desk, get things cabled in, get an image put down on the machine, get it patched, get it updated, get all the apps installed that they needed. Now it's just a matter of a right click and a clone. Huge difference. Huge difference. All they need is a thin client. You give them the machine name for the RDP session. All your end users need to know is I RDP into this machine name. That's my machine. Right now we have a 1-to-1 ratio with our thin clients and users. Yeah, absolutely. We haven't actually put any statistics together on that yet, but in terms of power consumption, you know, in respect to what a PC uses and what a thin client uses, the power savings is significant. And for some of our remote offices like Philippines or India, places like that, that becomes a huge concern. We do estimate a large savings there. Also, you know, with the footprint of the size of the desk, an LCD and a thin client takes up much less room on a desk than a desktop and a CRT. So the business is actually starting to get wise to it that, you know, our users don't need 30-inch workspace, they need 24-inch workspace. So now they can squeeze in the rows a little bit more in the room, get an extra two rows of seats, and kind of pack more productivity into the call center. So some of those things like power savings in remote sites, floor space, those things are all just starting to be realized as we roll this out.
Okay. You should also think about, I'm sorry, Ben, you should also think about the ROI on the network connections now. Because how big is that? We didn't realize that savings. You now have, instead of a client-server relationship and all of that traffic, now we estimate anywhere from 28 to 32K per RDP session. Now your pipe only has to be this big. So that was a huge savings. I mean, with 20 sites all connecting back in, redundant, everything else, we saved huge money on the network end. And that was something that we didn't anticipate initially. So beyond the power and the cooling and the footprint difference, and what Ben mentioned, putting more agents in one specific area that we owned already, that was another ROI savings.
Yeah, and there again, we have about 75 applications that we support on the desktop, and they're really industry-specific, and there really isn't a huge demand for call center applications. So most of what we have are in-house written or written in some guy's basement or, you know, it was here before, I don't know how to use it, but we got to support it kind of thing. So, you know, all those things used to just be fat connections back from a fat client from the desktop back into the central servers in the data center. Yes. Again, most of our agents, their job is limited. They generally don't have to print a lot. It's usually the supervisors, managers that do a lot of printing, the agents themselves.
We don't want them printing a lot.
And as a matter of fact, they're not allowed to print in a lot of cases. They're not even allowed to write anything down. Like if they write something down at their desk, they have to hand it in at the end of the day because of, you know, HIPAA rules and, you know, all types of information security. They have access to social security numbers and everything else. So them hitting the print button is a potential security violation. So we really don't deal as much with the printing traffic.
We do have printing with the supervisors at a lot of our sites, and we put a file and print server at each one of the locations to avoid the traffic coming up over the WAN. So that was one way we skirted that issue, is we do have one domain controller and a file print server there on site.
Supervisors usually use standard PCs still for audio video reasons. All of our sites are up on DS3. And in terms of the life of a thin client, you mean how long does it last before it dies, or how long is it usable in terms of performance?
Is it dead? 4 years, 5 years, 2 years?
We haven't actually come up with it yet. Again, this is a relatively new initiative for us. We're just starting to roll this out. We haven't had any issues where thin clients have become a limitation yet.
What is your assumption?
There again, the industry that we're in, the machines kind of get kicked around and beat up, like a lot of other offices. You know, you send something out to a remote site, you don't expect to ever get it back. So the thin clients are almost disposable for us. You know, if we send it somewhere and it dies, we just send them a new one. You know, we don't worry about turning it back around. So in that sense, it just gets added into the cost per seat, and you know, it's cost of doing business. It's actually pretty easy. Again, because it's in our ESX farm, we just keep those machines powered down so we can clone them. We just power up the machine. Machine might have a name of like Workstation 1 or something like that. Power it up, run the Windows updates, update antivirus, power it back down. every couple of days you just go through and see what's out there. If you know Windows updates came out, you know, you just have to go to all your images, fire them up, let SMS push down updates, or go out and manually run Windows updates and power them back down.
We treat them just like any other PC on our network, though.
And we manage them as such.
We manage them just like any other PC we would.
We use SMS
to push everything. You got to remember now, everything now is in a centralized data center. So our SMS server sits right next to the blades that all these VDIs reside on. So you're only limited to the traffic within our data center now. You're no longer going out and pushing it out. That's another added value that we got, was everything is centralized. Centralized meaning you're only bound to our fiber connections interconnect in the data center.
We're doing 25 to 30 clients per blade on 10 gigabit interfaces. So usually the network throughput isn't really that bad. And disk I.O., as I had said, was not as bad as we expected it to be. We spun everything up on our EDAs, and we were actually able to back it down the disk I.O. on the desktop, you know, either because our users aren't doing anything or because, you know, XP really isn't that I.O. intensive for what people are doing. We haven't really taken a hit. But there again, our SMS box is virtual. So, you know, pretty much everything in our data center that we use to support our desktops, we virtualize as well. Yeah, shared storage, as I said, I'll say it again, it's huge. Make the business case for it. Connection broker for... to manage the desktops themselves? No, as I said, we manage them as standard PCs that are on our network. We use all the same, whether it's physical or virtual, we look at those in terms of management the same way. So I'm not sure what the question for single person
doesn't put this on.
No.
So we're using the log on multiple.
No, generally what happens is a user, an agent comes into a call center, sits down at a desk, signs in, does his job, and leaves. So again, we keep a one-to-one relationship, so we'll have, you know, Joe will have workstation 203 will be his workstation. He'll come in, sit down, create an RDP session in workstation 203, do his job, log off, and go home.
You don't need a reason to orchestrate that kind of stuff. I have a connection broker that figures out that virtual desk or pre-assigned Joe workstation with another living virtual workstation.
Now I understand the first question a little bit better. We've actually been looking at that.
You can load balance the connection, or you can load balance the resource on the back end.
Yeah, we haven't found anything good to do that with yet. We were looking at like VBScript and the web TS web client, trying to, you know, web front end a little script that goes out to see if someone's connected to a VDI before it tries to connect a user, and the logistics and timings of it. We haven't found anything that's going to work for us yet. So we keep right.
And then you're also talking huge money too. Start adding that cost up.
Well, nobody's really built that middle layer yet for VDI, so that's, you know.
The wise use is real.
Yes. That doesn't apply as well.
Question on thin clients. So if you're all HP on the back end, why'd you go wise on the thin clients?
Popular, widely supported. They work well. One of the initiatives, actually, Frank can speak to this, that we have on our plate now, that Wise is going to be able to help us out with. We have a client that requires dual monitors. For financial, and Wise actually makes dual-headed thin clients now. So that's one of the things that, you know, that's our next big challenge, is getting dual-headed thin clients connected up to you know, VDI machines.
With high resolution.
Yeah.
So that, and multimedia. So there's a lot going on with that client, so we're excited about that one.
So with that, is your DS3 a full 45 megabit or
yeah.
Tracking?
Yes, full.
We run our voice over that as well, so, you know, we don't get all of that.
You have failover on top of that as well?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've had very little problem with it. I can honestly say that hasn't been any one of our problems. It depends on the client. That, I'm just giving you general numbers. Some are a lot higher than that. Some are a lot lower. We obviously with 253, you're limited to the virtual switching. So you only can get 32 on with 253. With 3.0, it's unlimited switching, so it's endless. I'm hoping that we're going to get 40 to 50 on ours. It all depends on our image and what client image we're using. Some of our images are so heavy that I'm only getting about 18 per blade, which is not the best number that I want. But we're getting more with thinner clients, with a thinner desktop. Somebody that's using 6 applications versus somebody that's using 10 and having everything up and running all at once, you see the performance hit.
We also have situations where we have, you know, our base images actually reside on some of the ESX boxes out there. They just sit out there powered on, taking up space. You know, we'll have some fluff machines that are out there, you know, just for slush. So when they turn around and say, hey, we need 20 more machines today, you know, we can hand it to them. You know, projects that were supposed to take off but didn't, and we haven't gotten around with deleting the machine. So there's oftentimes more than 25 or 30 machines on an ESX box, but only 25 to 30 simultaneously running at a time. Yes, yes.
We true up every year with Microsoft.
For any of you guys that use Virtual Center, when it walks you through the wizard and it asks you for information like machine name, administrator, account, it asks you for a license, the desktop XP license. So you put that in the sort of the questions that you answer when you make the clone, and it does kind of a sysprep build for you almost automatically. Yes, well, Microsoft volume licensing, but we use a corporate license for all of our desktops. That's great to hear. We're actually, we have a requirement kind of waiting in the wings for fingerprint scanners just for auditing reasons, so it's good to know. We have some of our applications. A simple answer to that is a couple of our applications require dedicated IP addresses, so it throws Citrix out the window right away. Citrix licenses are expensive, you know, in comparison to ESX licenses and XP licenses. They run kind of neck and neck, but Citrix was a few dollars more per seat, and in a call center industry where you have a 500-seat call center, you know, $3 per seat is a huge difference to the bean counters. So we actually
sometimes it'll come down to pennies.
Yeah,
that we'll get beat out on in a contract. So it did come out just slightly more going the Citrix way, but like Ben said, some of them need unique IPs. So.
And again, because we run, you know, a variation of 75 different applications, this gives us a little bit more flexibility instead of, you know, multiple Citrix servers in the farm to support different applications or, you know, different desktop configurations. We can just give someone a customized desktop if they need it.
Are all your applications in-house, or do your actual clients communicate, your internal clients communicate to your business partners and then use tools from them?
Luckily, a lot of what we use is web-based, but we do have you know, ABC company will come and we'll say, okay, we want to do customer service for you for, you know, X number of months for X amount of money. And they say, okay, go ahead, do it. Start on Monday. And by the way, you have to use our machine image and you have to use our security settings and you have to use our group policy settings and everything else. So we'll turn around and say, okay, well, give us a machine, give us a laptop, give us a desktop with your image on it, and they'll send it to us, and we'll use P2V to P2V that into a virtual machine and clone it, and now we're using all their image.
Does that work well?
Yeah, works very well.
Works very well. Actually, that's one of our points on the next slide here. New customer images are tested using P2V. We get them up within a day. I've had a couple new clients with new business come up, and I P2V their image, and within a day we have it up, and we give them access into it, and they can poke around. That's been very impressive for some of our clients that aren't aware of VMware yet or aren't aware of the virtual technology.
Is it like the migrator yet?
No.
No. It all depends on our images. Like I said before, I've got some clients that are heavy CPU, others are heavy memory. When I put them together, I get a real nice mix. But, yes, we do see some max out on CPU, some max out on memory. Very rarely do I see memory get all the way up. It's usually CPU that I see start to creep up in the 80s, 90 percentile. But that's another good point with our server utilization. You know, we are using our servers consistently at above 70% utilization. So, you know, we're getting the bang for the buck.
Aside from that,
over DRS.
Yeah, can't wait for DRS. We're actually really excited about the upgrade, so we can't wait to see how it all works in our environment.
One important side note to mention, again, there's a limitation in 2.5x of 32 guests per virtual switch. Now, most of your servers have multiple NICs, and you can set up multiple virtual switches, but unless you're on a flat network, that doesn't really help you, because when you start moving machines around, and you know they're looking for a virtual switch name that's not on the server that they're going to, it can cause you some problems. So although the network guys in the room are going to cringe when I say this, try to use as flat a network as you can for your VDI farm, because it'll make a huge difference. So that's one of the other limitations, 32 limit on a virtual switch that kind of hurt us as well.
Sure. I think our support at the data center level has definitely increased. Ben and myself have multiple admins underneath us that work with us on these. But at the call center level, that has drastically reduced. We've absorbed some of that back in. Actually, some of those technicians that we had out in the field, we are converting them into admins here. And like Ben said, they're all over the country, so it's great because we're crossing time zones. So we've got some great overlap on watching our environment. Like we said, I don't know if we've said it before, but we have call centers all over the world, so we have very little downtime. And we need those admins to go along with it. So we've been trying to strategically place our admins and pull some of those people back in. So we've really just converted them from being local techs into more of a remote administration mode.
And again, on the support piece, I think Frank had mentioned this earlier. Someone had a problem with their PC before. The desktop tech would come over, put a boot disk in, go to reimage it, or sit there troubleshooting applications, or take the PC back to their office to work on it, to bring it back. Now, I mean, if somebody has a problem with one of their virtual desktops, we delete it and give them a new one. You know, it's simple. No, there again, we have very little control in that area because we are heavily telecom. We run QoS for all our voice, and you know, the network guys generally don't give us priority over a lot of the other protocols that are running on the network. It just seems like any kind of video, anything with frequent screen refreshes tend to slow down, tend to get choppy. And especially like if you have Java-enabled web pages where they have animated GIFs and things like that, those things can be choppy sometimes. You know, our Philippines office, we can't really run multimedia with 300 millisecond response time. We can't really run multimedia well across that. So actually we move some of that stuff into Citrix because ICA handles the multimedia stream a little bit better and they get a little better response time. So, you know, multiple tools for the same job. We try to put them on terminal services because that's kind of the cheapest, easiest solution. We give them virtual desktops where we can give them virtual desktops, and if we need to, we'll spend the money on Citrix for things like audio, video for a specific function.
And to just, I guess we're almost out of time here, so I just want to go through.
Pass this back to Frank.
We just want to go through a last couple slides, and then if you want to stay after, you're more than welcome. We'll stay as long as you want. We love talking about it. We met our challenge, our immediate need for a solution to stay competitive. We met the challenge. Our executives bought into it early on, and it worked out very well for us. We're looking to, right now we have about 20% of our environment at that level. We're looking to get that to about 75% of our environment by the end of next summer is really the area that we want to get that done. A big slogan that's worked for us is any agent, any desk, anywhere. That's been fantastic. That's been the way we've operated. That's been the slogan and the cry of all of us going forward on this.
Just to interject real quick, one place where that becomes relevant, we have an office in West Palm Beach, Florida. They're in the hurricane belt. They have business continuity plans. When there's a hurricane coming, they're closing that office. They're not going to do business out of that office. They're losing money if they're not doing business. They want to divert that business to other call centers around the country. Now it's just a matter of giving somebody a different machine named RDP into to pick up that business from another office.
So typically we'll have business lines across multiple offices. That way we just ramp it up. You'll have multiple agents trained on multiple different vendors, and you can just ramp them up. Hey, we know that hurricane's coming to West Palm Beach. Let's move them all up to Charlotte, or let's move them to California, wherever it may be. So that's been fantastic. Some frequently asked questions that we've gotten about our rollout. What are overall ROI savings? This is a tough question for us because there has been a lot of savings, but we've also spent a lot of money because we've gone through the pains of getting to where we are. Now that we have the experience and we know where the hurdles lie, we can avoid some of those mistakes that we've made. But the ROI savings overall have been fantastic because the way that our business looks at it is we're more flexible. Is we can offer a client something overnight that we couldn't typically before.
Again, rollouts are big for us, and bringing up new clients, changing business, changing clients. They'll have an office where they'll have working two lines of business, 50 desks each. They'll say, you know what, next week we want to take 25 desks from this line of business and add it to this business. So we have to re-image those machines for next week to run this business and then re-image them back for the other stuff the week after. So we see a lot of shifting around. So one of our huge savings was in man hours.
Some of the typical network traffic that we utilize and saved, we've saved a lot on the network traffic. Obviously, you're going to an RDP session, which is typically around 30K versus the client-server relationship. How do we convince upper management? Upper management, we had buy-in. Luckily, we had buy-in from the beginning. I know that's a big hurdle for a lot of you guys thinking about doing this. What technical obstacles did we have to overcome? Our biggest thing was balancing. Was the balancing act that we had to do with how many desktops on each server. How did you gauge capacity on each ESX server? Typically through Virtual Center. Watching it live is, to me, the most important gauge that I can get is watching that and having it up all the time.
And with that, make the business case for Virtual Center. If you have it on one of your purchase requests and you're contemplating taking it off to get the total number down, keep it on there, make the business case for it. It made the project. I would have had gray hair, Frank would have been bald, and we both would have been asleep right now if we didn't have Virtual Center to roll this out.
And then Blade technology, and as Ben said before, SAN storage, most important, without a doubt. And I think there's some other VDI sessions, and we also, if you're interested in being a beta customer for ACE, there's somebody in the back that you can scan. Amy's in the back there. She could scan your badge. That's another technology that you might want to consider. And thank you all for coming today. Appreciate it.